Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church on this beautiful wet morning. Whether you have been worshiping here your whole life or this is your first time, we are glad that you have found your way to this worshiping community. If you have any questions about our worship or fellowship, our time together, please don't hesitate to ask someone around you, or there will be an elder standing at the communion table following worship today. In your bulletin, there are a list of announcements and also opportunities to serve. Check those out, and we have just a few announcements this morning. The first is to mark your calendar. I know many of you all have been out this door over here and had a chance to pray and meditate in the Memorial Garden, but we will be formally celebrating and dedicating that garden on August 11th following worship. It would be great to have you there. Carol Ann had an announcement as well.
First of all, you would be very proud of your junior highs. They worked so hard last week. So if you see a junior high, give them a good thank you. Also, senior highs, we leave next Sunday, meet here at 1 o'clock, and all of your forms and money are due. Now, Jamaica Work Project, adults, your monies and forms are due August 1st. Just a reminder. Thank you.
And now, let us worship God together.
Stand as you're able for the call to worship. God's holy presence surrounds us. The kingdom of God has come. The will of God fills us. Come praise the Lord.
Join in glad adoration.
When we come to God confessing our sins, we can be assured that God forgives us over and over again. Please join me in the prayer of confession. We do not find it easy to speak of how we do not live as your people, but you invite us to share our weaknesses and failures with you, inviting God. Tempting to think your salvation is for a select few, we put up barriers for others. Clinging to all you give to us, we are reluctant to share with those in need. Surrounded by evil and violence, we find it easier to close ranks with those just like us, rather than seeking peace and reconciliation for our world. Forgive us, salvation God. Open our eyes to our sisters and brothers all around. Open our ears to the word of hope you speak to us. Open our spirits to the presence of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who flings open the open doors of your kingdom, that all might find life with you. O God, we ask that you hear our silent prayers of confession. Amen. Hear the good news, my friends. Christ came searching for us, calling us by name, leading us into God's kingdom. In Christ, we become new people. Broken, we are made whole. Lost, we are found. Forsaken, we are restored to new life. Thanks be to God. Amen. I'd like to invite the children forward. Good morning. I'm so glad to see each one of you. I hope you've been having a good summer and having lots of fun. So I wanted to share something I did Friday night that was lots of fun. I went to a big, huge party, and it was a party given by the Rochester Jamaican Organization. There were over 300 people there. We had great food and we danced, but guess what? While we were there, the Jamaican organization, Rochester Jamaican Organization, presented Gates Presbyterian Church with a big check. You know why? Because a lot of our church family, a lot of members of our church, are members of that organization. And they told their friends about the basic school we're building in Jamaica. And they decided that was a good thing to support. So they presented me with this check. Gates Presbyterian Church, $2,500. Isn't that neat? Well, this isn't a real check, but they gave me a real check too. So help me, stand up and help me carry this around. Let's carry it around so we can show it to the congregation, because this is pretty cool. Here, let's just walk around, hold it up. Isn't this neat? So let's ask the congregation in Thanksgiving for this to give a big hand. Yay! Now you can come back. So I wanted to tell you more about the party. They had a great band. And I danced and danced. But you know what? In the middle of the music,
The woman that was singing decided to sing a song that was kind of like a prayer. And we danced to it. We sang it, and we danced to it. It was as if we were using our arms and our legs and our mouth to praise God, to pray to God. Well, I think God wants us to pray to God and talk to God any way, any time we want to. In fact, God says all you have to do is just talk to God, just like you would talk to a good friend. I think it's a good thing to thank God. It's a good thing to tell God your problems. Jesus' disciples said, how do I do that? How do I pray? And Jesus gave them a big, long prayer. We say it here lots of times, the Lord's Prayer. But really, we can talk to God anytime, any way. So let's have a prayer now. Thank you, God, for our connection with the Jamaica organization, for their support of our project. Thank you that we can talk to you anytime, anyway. Amen. Thanks for your help. You may go back to your families.
The first reading this morning is from Psalm 138. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted your name and your word above everything. On the day I called you, you answered me. You increased my strength of soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. They shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he perceives from far away. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve me against the wrath of my enemies. You stretch out your hand, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands.
Lord of all, to
Grateful praise indeed. Amen. Our second scripture reading for this morning comes from Luke's Gospel. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive our sins as we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial." And then Jesus said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked. My children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Search, you will find. Knock, the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This week, I had the honor of accompanying the junior high youth on the first day of their mission work project to Salem United Church of Christ. Here, the youth join a group of committed volunteers serving a warm, healthy lunch to those who are hungry in downtown Rochester. This year, 17 young people, junior high youth from our congregation, were busy serving up hot ears of corn on the cob, fruit salad, and pasta to a hungry crowd in a rather warm gymnasium of a church. So many youth were there, in fact, I had the opportunity to just sit down and visit with a few of the guests. And a man in his mid-40s came and sat down next to me. He had a well-worn t-shirt, cut-off jean shorts, tennis shoes missing their laces, and slicked back silver-tinted hair, failing to heed the warning of the manufacturers of Brill Cream that a little dab will do ya. But he began our conversation by asking, "You the pastor?" Nodding my head, he followed with a question I get quite frequently. "A real one?" Said, "I don't know too many fake ones." A bit skeptical, he continued, "Well, either way, I've got kind of a dumb question for you. But maybe you can help." I just smiled, and he asked, "Can you teach me to pray?" And then without the slightest bit of hesitation, a confession tumbled out of his mouth. He knew the words, and he knew about the hand folding and the head bowing, but he never felt if he was doing it right. It was confusing. He said, "All I really want to say is thanks for this food, and God, could you help me find a job? And how do I let go of all the dark feelings I've been carrying around inside of me? Because if there's a tomorrow, and only God knows if there will be, I want to be walking right where God wants me to be." "Amen," I said. "What do you mean, amen?" the man asks. "Sounds like you've had some pretty heartfelt conversations with God about what's going on. So, amen." "Yeah," getting real skeptical now. "But how about all that Our Father stuff?" Said, "What about it? Shouldn't I be saying that? Like Jesus told us to, instead of just telling God what I want and what to do?" I shared with the man that those specific words of the Lord's Prayer do hold special meaning for many of us in our lives of faith. But Jesus wasn't asking with fancy words. He too was telling God in a very simple way the joys, the concerns, the dreams and fears of God's people. "Give us, forgive us, lead us." Jesus was being honest with God about what was going on with God's people. After asking that we act in a way to keep God's name holy and live the kingdom of life on earth, Jesus' prayer covers the basics in life. "Give us, all of us, the food we need to live each day, that it might give us the strength to live as God's people. Forgive us, as we forgive others, so that our relationship with you, O God, and others are restored to the way that you want them to be. Lead us. Lead us from those places that are unhealthy and fear-filled, so that all of creation might find safety and joy in your presence, God. These are the gifts of the kingdom, which will not be refused, because they flow from our being united with the very being of God who sustains and forgives and is faithful to us. After centuries of communities of faith repeating the words of Jesus and subsequently arguing about where to stop the prayer, whether or not the word is debt, trespasses, or sins, it can feel a little bit like the focus is all about what the right words are and that there is a right way to pray. But the nature of this prayer that Jesus teaches us and the verses that follow affirm God's commitment to be in relationship with God's people and for us to be in relationship with God and one another. In case you've missed a Sunday or two this summer, we've been focusing in worship on the theme of mission and the different ways we as God's people are sent out into the world to be the people of God. Part of our commitment as the people of God and followers of Christ is to not only be in relationship with those whom Jesus spoke about in Luke 4, quoting the prophet Isaiah, those who are poor, imprisoned, and oppressed, but to pray for them too. The man at the Salem soup kitchen wanted to know if I could teach him to pray. This isn't the first time that I or anyone else who is deemed a professional prayer has been asked that question. And sometimes It's assumed that those professional prayers are the only one in a room who know how. But I'll tell you, it's not true. I find it quite disheartening that people would rather internalize their guilt, their shame, their confusion, or questions of not thinking that they have the right way to pray, rather than just trusting God to receive the many ways in which we tune into what God is doing in our lives, the lives of our neighbors, and the whole world. So if you are struggling with any of those four mentioned feelings, might I offer you the reassurance, as I did to that man, that prayer attunes us to the action of God in our lives. And if you want to learn how to pray, start right there with an awareness or intentionality of wanting to be aware of God's presence in your life and in the world. Jesus uses the words, "Our Father." If that doesn't work for you, go with "Our Mother," "Holy God," "Lord," "the Almighty," "Creator," "Divine Spirit." There is a whole long list of different names and characteristics of God in the Bible. Use whatever connects for you and for the community in which you are gathered at that time to the presence of God. And maybe for you it won't be a word, but silence, or even an image in your mind. And what happens from there? It's not magic. There isn't one formula, and you don't need a professional prayer to take the next step either. Just keep it simple. Keep it honest. The prayer might involve words with questions, or just the intermingling of the Spirit of God with your own spirit in breath, or movement, or images of people you interact with in your daily life, or in the newspaper, or online. You might offer a word of thanksgiving, of praise, of help, for strength, for peace, for justice. One of the aspects of our community life here at GPC that I treasure is that during the prayers of the people, folks actually stand up to give voice to their own prayer requests. And if you're one of those who is on the listening end of those prayers, I encourage you to keep that prayer throughout the week. It doesn't have to be all of them. In fact, it might seem a little less overwhelming if you just chose one. Don't worry if you don't know the person's name. God does. And the prayer you might offer later in the afternoon or later in the week might be as simple as, "God, that guy standing up in the back asking prayers for his wife who is struggling with memory loss, help him. And I don't know, if there's anything else I can do, let me know. Amen." And despite the fact that our community is one that does give voice to so many prayers, I ask that you also remember that there are so many who can't. As we learned last week in worship, there are men who recently released from prison and on parole are now expected to make positive contributions to society but can't get a job and are discriminated against when they are applying for housing, education, and public benefits. They may not feel comfortable giving voice to their prayers. And there are countless war veterans who are flooded with horrific memories every time a car backfires or a fire alarm goes off and they suffer in silence. They may not have anywhere to give voice to their prayer and community. How about the woman in front of you at the grocery store? She's in the checkout lane trying to figure out which food items her food stamps will buy this month. Who's praying for her? And those who suffer from addiction, are mentally ill, have been living on the streets for years, and wander into a soup kitchen on a Monday afternoon. These folks may or may not find their way into a community to give voice to their prayers. But that need not stop us from bringing these folks to God in prayer and imagining the ways in which God is acting in all of our lives. I was reminded of the importance of this at the end of our day on Monday. As the junior high youth came back, we're being a little bit squirrely in the junior high lounge. And then Carol Ann asked them to stand, to join hands, to think about the people whom they had served that day, whether they had a name or could remember a face, a description, that we would bring those folks in prayer the end of the day. And the kids got calm. It's hard to imagine. Their bodies stopped moving, and you could see on their faces going back over the day. And as Carol Ann began the prayer, we went around the room, and you heard the names. You heard about the man with no shoelaces, the couple that was recently married, the family with small children. You could see it in their faces, the importance of speaking boldly of those they wanted God's kingdom to reach on earth as it is in heaven. A beautiful moment, a beautiful day. And may we all, with honesty, simplicity, trust, and boldness, live our lives of prayer now and always. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
As you can see from the prayer printed in the bulletin, we're going to do things a little bit different this morning with the prayers of the people, though I still, of course, am going to ask for your prayers of joy and concern, those you would like to share out loud. Please raise your hand so an usher can find their way so that you may share prayer. One over here.
Cindy Price. I'd like prayers for my friend Mary, who's in Unity Hospital. She fell and is having trouble with passing out several times more.
Prayers for her.
Joy that both of my daughters and all six of my grandchildren are here with me this morning.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
As you heard, participated in the service.
As those microphones make their way around, I also ask for prayers for the family of Everett Hadley. Everett died yesterday afternoon, so prayers for his two daughters and the rest of their family.
Anne-Marie Sim, I'd like prayers for a friend of mine. Her name is Sheila, and she just had her parathyroids removed, so I'll be visiting her today. But she's on dialysis on a daily basis, so she's unable to work, so I'm like prayers for her. Thank you.
GM Buettner, I ask for prayers for my neighbor Linda, who's got congestive heart failure and is diabetic and was taken into the hospital yesterday. So prayers for her and her husband John. Thanks.
All right. Using the responsive prayer that's printed in your bulletin, let us pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, remind us this day that you are not only creation's architect, but you are the babe who cried for food, the teenager who knew loneliness, the adult who felt the rejection of loved ones.
Hallowed be thy name.
Yours is the name spun by the stars. Yours is the name whispered by the dying. Yours is the name written on our hearts.
Thy kingdom come.
May it be a kingdom of peace, not prejudice. May it be a kingdom of sharing, not grasping. May it be a kingdom of hope, not hurting. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May
give us this day our daily bread.
World.
And forgive us our debts as we forgive others.
And lead us not into temptation. Turn our hearts from the seductions of our world and the simple pleasures that turn us from you.
But deliver us from evil.
Not just great evils of war and hunger, but from ingratitude, self-love, pride, and those little evils that do such great harm.
For thine is the kingdom,
our heart's true longing, and the power which you set aside to serve us in weakness,
and the glory
which we would mirror in our lives, our bodies, our minds, our souls, this day and every day.
Forever and ever.
Amen. And now, as we celebrate the many gifts in which God has blessed us with, we begin our time with a morning offering. Also a reminder, though, our song of response is the song of hope, which is in your hymnal. on page 432. We'll sing it once through.
Before you, O God, we offer our prayers, our presents, our gifts, and our service. We lay our gifts before you in praise and thanksgiving for your many blessings. May these offerings continue the transforming work of your Spirit in and through our congregation. Amen.
Thank you.
go from this place, carry that question in your heart. How does God of creation fit in your everyday lives? Where do you see God alive, at work, moving, living, breathing? Say thanks. Ask for help. Praise God for all the many blessings in each of our lives. With the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the courage of the Holy Spirit to offer these prayers over and over and over again, now and always. Amen.